I can see that. It gets you to a point where you have to write a book about it, and that's exactly what Matt Rosenberg did. And the book, again, is called What Next, Chicago: Notes of a Pissed Off Native Son. Glad he didn't pull any punches there on the name of the book. You know, he could have said a very mad native son, but he went out on a limb and he called it Pissed Off Native Son, which I like. I really like that. And we're getting Matt on the phone right now. Matt Rosenberg, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm great, thank you. How are you doing this morning?
Doing okay. So I just kind of framed your, I hope I was accurate, I framed your whole situation by saying you're from Chicago, where when it used to be just a great town, right? Safe, you could walk around, shop, and now it's just gone to heck. And so the book, What Next? Notes of a Pissed Off Native Son, must have been something that you felt that you needed to do, not just wanted to write a book, but you needed to write this, am I right?
Chicago was calling me back. I was watching last year as the city blew up. I grew up here. I came of age here, lived here 30 years, 64 to 94, always came back in the interim. And yeah, I was really dismayed and disturbed, and I wanted to go deeper than what I was seeing in the news. So I moved into Bridgeport, which is the Irish neighborhood that five mayors have come from. And I took the bus down into the South Side frequently to speak to Black people in their homes and workplaces and try and get a better handle on the question that is posed in the book's title, What Next, Chicago? Because we've got some serious problems here.
And it's not isolated to Chicago, you know what I mean? I mean, you happen to be from Chicago, but, you know, somebody from New York City could write this book about that city. Somebody could, here in St. Louis, somebody could write what happened here, you know? It seems to be a problem that just by coincidence, cities that have Democratic leadership are starting to fall apart.
Well, that's exactly why I wanted to come take a look at it. I feel that as Chicago goes, so go the other big cities in this country. And, you know, what we have is a real toxic brew of things. You know, we've got a broken court system, partly because of the misapplication of something you and your listeners have heard of, something called bail reform, where guys are arrested for serious crimes very often and then let out on no cash or low cash bail before trial. All too often they go out and commit more really serious crimes even before trial, things like carjacking, shootings, even murder. Highly problematic. We've got broken schools as well as broken courts. We've got obviously spiraling violent crime. And then in Chicago, and it's not exclusive to Chicago, we've got endemic corruption. And here in particular, rigged rules of governance. We've got elections in odd numbered years hidden in the winter months. And so we've only got 33% voter turnout. Wow. And, you know, that compares to 70% plus here in the same city for presidential elections. So it goes by state law. We need to change state law and hinge local elections to the presidential elections. It seems like an obscure inside baseball kind of issue, but I think that civic engagement and grassroots activism from the bottom up is part of the way we fix this. A lot of it goes back to the home environment, as old-fashioned as that sounds.
No, not at all.
Yeah, and I heard that from Black people I talked with on the South Side. They are calling on their own people, some of them, the ones that need to do a better job parenting. We've got lost young men out there. We've got what I call a tyranny of the minority. And yeah, this stuff is totally not exclusive to Chicago. We've got these same problems across the country in St. Louis, San Francisco, Los Angeles, New York, Philadelphia, you know, Milwaukee, Cleveland, Detroit, you name it. It's just that things kind of reached a fever pitch after the heinous killing of George Floyd last year by Minneapolis police. But that's not an excuse to go off the rails, you know?
Right.
There's still problems. There's still white racism against Blacks. But I've talked to Blacks who said, yeah, that's out there, but that doesn't control my life. Here's what I do. Here's what people in my neighborhood are doing. And again, I heard success stories, entrepreneurs, ex-convicts, micro-lending programs, giving ex-convicts a leg up to start delivery services. Yeah. You know, and people like to trash Amazon, but it's really interesting to dig in.
Trash away.
Yeah, it's interesting to dig in because a lot of these guys on the South Side in a neighborhood called Pullman, where they used to build those rail sleeper cars many years ago, Chicago Neighborhoods Initiative runs a micro-lending program. A lot of guys come out of prison, they get a $20,000 van, they buy a delivery vehicle, and they start to grow their company, and they come back for more small loans because they got pals who want to drive too. The hours are long, but the money is good. So this is just one, you know, tiny slice of the pie, but there are success stories all over this city. So let's start to sing about that stuff loud. That's part of what I'm trying to do.
You know, part of this book. You gave us a ton of information right there, Matt, and I think we have only time to kind of dig into one of them right now. And the one I want to do is bail reform, because somehow through this bail reform, and I don't know how, as America, as a country, we allowed this to happen. But when somebody can walk into a store and walk out with under whatever the dollar amount is and not pay for it, we've made the small business owners the villains. And when that used to be, that was the American dream right there. Get a business, you know, own your own business, be your own boss. And now it's like you can't stop anybody from stealing from you.
Franchisees are feeling it. There was something up on a popular police-oriented website showing, I don't know if you've heard of Ulta, the fashion store chain, beauty supplies. There was an Ulta out on Harlem Avenue here the other day. Three, four guys walked in, masked, hooded, just cleaned out the shelves. Everybody's standing there. The security guards don't want to get involved. It's rotten. The downtown boutiques, it's nonstop. Yeah. And it's like, what next?
Why have we villainized people who are taking the ultimate risk of having their own business or being a franchisee to a bigger company like Ulta? But that was the bravery. That was the stuff that we wanted people to do. And now people are afraid to do that. And what's going to happen as that snowballs?
It's in the end, I think it comes back to parenting. It comes back to schools. It comes back to career and vocational education. You know, 18 black female electricians earned a certification this summer through a nonprofit on the South Side. We need to see more of that kind of stuff. We need to see more parents stepping up. We need to sing the praises of faith and family. You know, I think these are all a big part of the situation, and it's old-fashioned stuff. We need to get back to that.
Yep, absolutely do. And also, a story that's here in St. Louis, and I don't know if you've heard about it, Matt, but I want to bring it up to you because this is a whole other problem. There's a high school here in St. Louis called Parkway Central, and there was some anti-black people, very racist comments written in the bathroom, in the boys' bathroom, and now it turns out a black kid actually wrote that. And I think that's a whole nother problem that's starting to blossom.
It is. Now, you know, in my book, I share something. In Bridgeport, I ran into an actual white racist, a troglodyte. He was also homophobic. He was triggered by some display in a very progressive-leaning art gallery on the street. The neighborhood has gone from Irish politicians to sort of bohemian. Tried the Socratic method. I tried the head-on approach. This guy wouldn't budge. You know, he had a room temperature IQ on a cold day with a radiator broken. So there's still white racists. But this thing that you talk about, that's real too. And it's because the victim mentality is cherished. Now, I had a chance to hear a very wise black man speak last winter, Shelby Steele, at a community forum in Chicago. He wrote the book White Guilt in 2005. I highly recommend it. He comes from here. He said, listen, I know white people are for real if they're asking something of us. But if they're just coming to us and saying, you're a victim, you know, we've hurt you, they're doing that to salve their own conscience, to salve their own white guilt. So people who invent fake hate crimes like the one that you've reported to me that occurred in St. Louis, they're trying to yank the chain of the white man in that old predictable way.
Yeah.
And, you know, white progressives, unfortunately, are some of the worst racists out there because they believe blacks aren't capable. And it's terrible. That. Yeah.
Matt, we're up against a hard break. What next, Chicago? Notes of a Pissed Off Native sign written by Matt Rosenberg. Love talking to you, man. Let's try to get another conversation in soon, okay?
I would absolutely love to do that.
Right on. All right. News from Town Hall up next. And then Susie Moore, better known as Schmoozy Q, joins us on News Talk STL. Welcome home.